Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. We're going to be talking about something pretty cool today. That topic's going to be all about your A, your B, and your C players. How do you identify them? How do you work with them? How do you hit quota? And to do that, we brought in a special guest as a friend of mine. Really interesting background. I'm going to give him in just a second to introduce himself, but I'll do the high level. Gentleman's name is Ron Hollis, and Ron right now is an enterprise director here at InsideSales.com, but he also is kind of our guru, if you will, on all things quadrants. And we're going to be talking about what we call sales effectiveness quadrants and identifying A, B's, and C's players. But I don't want to steal his thunder. Ron, thanks so much for joining, but do you mind taking just a minute and telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of the fun history you've had in your career?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Gabe. Good afternoon. Yeah, I'd love to share a little bit about my background. I'll try to keep it above board, right?
Yeah, that's right. This is the 2-minute version. Yeah. I know you got the 30-minute.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just teasing. No, you know, I have been in the AI data space pretty much my whole career, really in the AI since about 2005, and have been able to work on really interesting projects around taking outliers to advocates, right? So how can I actually move the needle and influence people to do different things or to become interested in, helping movements move forward or, think of different ways that, hey, how can we leverage data to help communicate a message, right? And so a lot on the B2C side. And then around 2010, I transitioned into doing a lot of B2B work, which kind of brings me to where we are today, trying to understand, hey, how do we enable people to sell more? Right. Yeah. It seems like a simple thing, but how does that really happen?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it is a critically important problem to, I think, be attacking. And the way that you've started to think about it, and we'll get to this in a minute, by not necessarily looking through the opportunity lens, but looking at the individual lens, I think is pretty groundbreaking. So before we get into the fun, a couple quick questions for you. One, just I love to put people on the spot here. Outside of work, what are you passionate about, man? You're a surfer, you collect cats, anything kind of crazy?
I love to help people. I think that would really be, that's been my passion lately. You know, obviously, I think some of my, the thing that I like about sales and the thing I like about what we'll be talking about today is it's about people and how do you connect to people and how do you, empower people? How do you help people transform?
I love it.
And in doing so, you actually help businesses transform. So, you know, obviously for a podcast, probably won't dive deep into some of the things that I really think about, but you know, that's,
No, you're good, man.
I'll tell you this. You know what I really like to do outside of work is I like to make people laugh.
Is that right?
I've done some stand-up comedy. I've got some stuff out on, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I've got some stuff out there. And, this January, I've got another 45-minute stand-up gig, and I'd love for you to come to Austin and check it out.
Oh my goodness! That? Hey, man, that's the kind of meat we were looking for, man. I'm gonna go pick up some dirt on old Ron here. I love it. So let's jump into the topic at hand here. Want to start just big picture? Why are you so passionate about it? Why are we even talking about this idea of A, B's, and C's and identifying and moving, et cetera? What's kind of the genesis of it all?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, is I realized about 6 years ago that I was a C player and with an attitude of an A player, but I wasn't able to, to execute.
Okay. And at least you're honest.
The reality is I've always been relatively successful, but, it was always, the bare minimum. And so that's typically what I got. And I started to realize, hey, you know what, I'm going to have to change some things within myself if I actually really want to maximize my potential. Hmm. And I was always that guy that's like, oh, man, you know, you don't ever maximize your potential. Man, you've got so many gifts. This, you know, a lot of people have heard that out there. And it's like, okay, how do I realize that? And I think what happened for me is I actually had to focus on what was important, and that was getting things straightened in my life, right? Reprioritizing some stuff. Mm. And then I started thinking, like, man, what if I started doing that at work? Like, yeah, reprioritizing things, right? Actually doing the things that I set forth to do, you know, setting goals and you know, making it a point to be available.
Interesting.
That's really where the things changed.
So you kind of went on your own. You kind of went on your own journey of experiencing kind of being a BC player and what it maybe took to move it forward. And that was a little bit of the aha behind it.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Now you mentioned, I love this stat. You mentioned pre-show from an industry standpoint. You're not alone. A lot of people are not achieving quota. Their sales reps in general are struggling. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's down over the past 5 years. It's down 10% to 53% of people attain quota.
53% of sales reps achieve quota. Yeah, I mean that's that's flipping a coin, I guess, right? 50-50.
That's right. So what it's telling me is like, hey, things are getting incredibly difficult. Like the landscape is getting more difficult. You know, buyers are becoming more educated. Right, in the way in which that they approach the buying cycle, it's getting more complicated. Right, it's tighter. It's harder to spend money. We're trying to solve more sophisticated problems. Mm-hmm. More people are getting involved.
Yeah.
Right. So you just look at the whole thing. But us as salespeople, we're still using a lot of the same methods.
That's right.
Of old.
That's right. I can picture this. You know, you've got your typical sales team and half of them are hitting quota, half of them are not. And I want to double click on that because I find this to be kind of an interesting thought or maybe an interesting even visualization. So I'm a sales leader. And as you said, I mean, times have gotten a little bit different around me, but I don't know if there's been a lot of change within the way we're managing people to actually hit more quota. It's kind of I don't know if there's tried and true principles. It's kind of, and maybe that's a question for you. I mean, as a leader, I see that my team's maybe struggling. I see that half of them aren't hitting quota. How do I start to think about what to do?
Well, hey, that's a great question. I think the reality is, you know, one thing I didn't bring up is the average tenure of sales leaders, 18 months. So you know what they do? They go on a money grabbing expedition and they focus on the A player. And they go, hey, man, I'm going to ride this dude until
bounce in 6 months, right?
Until I either wear out my welcome or, I come up with a way in which to figure out how to scale this organization. And I think as sales leaders think about, their career and, okay, hey, what do I do? There's a transition, right? I think there's actually a fairly significant transition that's happening from, kind of this monarchical approach. It's, top down, hey, you got to do it this way, to understanding, okay, hey, what are the people that are successful doing that are in the field? And how can we leverage the insights, the motion, the innovation, and then disseminate all of that? Like, number one, capture it. And then how do we disseminate that throughout the organization with the notion of, high tide rises all ships?
That's interesting. I mean, I spent some time at the Gallup organization, the Gallup poll. And one of their big philosophies kind of resonates as you talk. It's that strengths-based approach. Kind of find what's best with somebody, and then you work with that concept. You can apply it at an individual. You can also apply it at a hiring concept. And their idea was a little bit similar in the sense that you say, hey, let's find what's working. Let's find what great looks like. And then if we can find more people like that. And they kind of had a hiring and strengths coaching program. But what I'm hearing you say is let's get a model. Let's get scientific around looking at the field and saying, let's not just ride those A players. Let's kind of study them, see what's working, and then find a scalable way to disseminate it to those others so that we can create more goodness. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it seems simple, but I don't see it. I don't see it being done.
Well, and I got to pause you there because you stole my line because I'm like, no offense, but that sounds kind of simple. Why the hell are we not actually why can't we do it? Are we just lacking the systems? Is it? I mean, is it that maybe it's hard to identify the players? I mean, what's holding us back?
Here's the deal. It's like I think if you look at any sales leader, they look at this and they go, "Hey, man, there's a problem, but hey, I'm not sure where that problem is." Yeah, so I think sometimes identifying the problem is often the problem. And you know, if you look at healthcare, you know, people don't just go, "Hey, my hip hurts, I'm going to get a hip replacement." You know, they actually go in and they talk to a physician that probably one that's done a bunch of surgeries and he probably has a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
And you know, he's figured out the best method to do so. And oh man, and he's got a fellowship team, which means they really study this.
Yeah, you know, that's a good analogy. It's a good analogy. Yeah, and truthfully, you know, I think of that. I mentioned that hiring analogy, and it's God, when it comes to people, things do get harder. You know, and I think it's also very simple to say, hey, in the hiring process, like, we've hired a couple all stars. Let's hire some more people like Mary and Tom. You know, and it's like, okay. Yeah. Never. Like, we have no idea how to do that. And so, although you're right, although it maybe sounds simple when it comes to people in particular, it seems like it's harder to get a data-driven, scalable model to produce greatness time and time again.
That's right. So I call it going on the purple squirrel expedition. You know, if you think about Jack Welch, right, he's got the 20-70-10. You know, 20% of the population produces 80%. The 70% gets ignored, and we'll recycle the bottom 10%, and then we'll hire somebody to go recycle that bottom 10, and hopefully they can find a purple squirrel that's going to be, you know, another A player.
Yeah,
and they end up spending, you know,
interesting,
lots of money.
Yeah, looking for this kind of purple squirrel. Do you are you a believer in the this Jack Welch thing? I mean, that's still a pretty predominant quote, right? That you get rid of your bottom, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you get rid of your bottom 10% every year. Is that still a mentality? I don't mean to go too far down that rabbit hole, but I think it's an interesting.
Yeah, that's okay. I think there's a reason that you hired people.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we tend to start to look for excuses. And I think that there's this whole notion that we can recycle. You know, I'm of the notion of, hey, let's upcycle. You know, how can we upcycle the people? You know, how can I transition my people that are underperforming and move them up and to the right, if you will? Or you know, what we talked about, you know, what you mentioned at the beginning is like, how do I take my C players, make them B, make my B's A's? There's a philosophy behind this, right? It's called the zone of proximal development. Everybody that's been in higher education has learned it. It's, you know, a mentorship program.
Yeah.
Based off, I want to take you from an outlier to an advocate. The only reason that you're not going to be successful is because you get overwhelmed or bored, right? Why don't I use data to drive how I interact with you? Why don't I align people that are similarly situated with you, right? They're just a little bit further down the road. They've had a little bit more success. They've got some bumps and bruises. I'm not saying I'm going to manufacture scars for somebody, but what I'm going to say is that I want to align somebody that's more closely in tune to what I'm going through as a new employee, or, you know, as a new salesperson, or somebody that's gotten into a complex deal for the first time at this company. Right.
That way
not only are we more sophisticated in the tools that we're using when we're trying to capture this information, because we want to get paid, because we are coin register operated, but we also want to be able to collaborate. We want to be able to share those insights so we can get resources, because we're selling inside just like we're selling outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's an exchange of information, and which, you know, helps me transition the tribal knowledge I have down to the rest of the folks. But we haven't figured out how to, I don't know if mechanize is the right word, but
mechanize,
you know,
yeah,
how do we leverage, yeah, yep. You know, like how do we leverage that? And, you know, that's really, it's kind of been the advent of the endeavor that I've embarked on.
Yes.
You know,
and I think that's past. Actually a great transition. So I want to kind of put you on the spot here and see if you can't kind of paint a picture. I mean, it sounds like, you know, call it a three-step process or a, you know, manual, systematic and optimized. This it sounds like there's three, maybe a couple different ways people can approach this problem of, hey, you've got these sellers, they're not hitting quota, you don't know what to do, you just fire them all and don't do anything. That's one where you just kind of stare blankly and ride your A players and maybe bail 6 months later. There's kind of the don't do anything approach. And then I want to get to this concept around this effectiveness quadrant that you've developed and used data, but is there a middle, if you're looking to a sales leader and they said, hey man, just give me some best practice that I can take and do right now to kind of get me moving in the right direction before I get to kind of a real systematic approach. Is there something you could leave behind, a tip, a tactic, or is it kind of either do nothing or you got to get really kind of data driven and technology driven?
Well, I mean, you know, the real answer is, you know, make yourself available for your salespeople. Start listening to them. You know, start to understand what a next step looks like for them.
Yeah.
You know, look for the gaps, figure out how to coach them. You know, I think that with that being said, you know, the fastest and most, you know, pragmatic approach is to leverage an assessment to do something like that. Because here's the thing, what happens is it's like we're emotional creatures, right? And so what happens is we're very subjective. I like this guy because he played football at Michigan and this, right? Totally. You know, he could be a buffoon, right? But it's okay. I like him, you know. He makes me laugh, and so I'm going to keep him around. But the reality is like, hey, you know, it's very, very competitive. It's a competitive marketplace to get people, to keep people, you know, to stay in the game. So, you know, my approach is like, hey, let's be objective.
Yeah.
Let's look at the data. Let the data tell us, because we spend all this money on CRM. Let's leverage it. Right. So let's look at the CRM system and say, okay, hey, what's impacting success and failure at my organization? Guess what? We're smart enough to do that right now.
Interesting.
So we need to be doing it. Hey, we also have this notion of how are things trending? Where are things going? You know, if I ask you a question, Gabe, hey, is today different because of what happened yesterday? Yeah, you'd probably say, well, absolutely. Well, there's a bunch of stuff that went on yesterday.
Yeah, I'd assume. I mean, I like hurt my toe, so now I'm limping around today. That works.
Okay. So, but we look at sales. We don't look at sales like that.
Yeah.
Everything's like, oh, you know, boom, boom, boom. The reality is there's lots of stuff that change over time. There's all these really myopic details.
Yeah.
Well, if you have solutions and you're leveraging big data and you have the right tool sets, you can start to understand, you know, what are the winning signals?
What are those
losing signals?
Yeah, what are these little myopic things that are happening? Let's get into that. So it does sound like I've got a zero sum. I got this approach that I do nothing. I kind of hope for the best and then leave soon. Yeah. There is a middle ground that says, hey, start to pull some of your own data. Get into a better coaching program. Start to determine, even in baby steps, identify who your best people are and then try to coach them and then start to coach some others to try to fill in some of those gaps. And then there is this third option. I know you've been on a journey for years trying to kind of get to this place where you actually systematize that process using data, using kind of a real systematic approach. Can you kind of take us through this idea of this sales effectiveness quadrant and how it brings kind of this all together?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of the advent of a lot of this stuff was on some projects that I had worked on in the consumer field. And it all was around this notion of proximal development. And it's and in essence, what it's doing is like tell me the characteristics of people so I can segment my population so I can actually communicate with them. And I want to get an understanding of their level of knowledge or willingness to digest information around a particular subject. Right. That's as simple as it was. Right. It became like, oh my gosh, I have 150,000 people I have to talk to about this wristband, right? That's becoming a big craze.
Okay.
How do I break them apart? How do I communicate with them? How do I get them to come to my event? How do I get them to donate? How do I get them to tell their friends about this? And then eventually, you know, come to realize that they've actually been affected by this situation and then actually march on Washington for me.
Right.
How do I do that? Right. Well, I got to understand them. So, you know, in the consumer world, there's lots of that. Well, we're at a point in time right now where most organizations that I talk to have a huge data pool, and they have 5% of their population that have a remote understanding of, hey, how can I actually weaponize this data and help me generate revenue? And so I was like, dude, that's where it's at right there. Hmm. Let's start to capture that information. Let's segment it. Let's do some analysis. Let's leverage machine learning, right? Because that's something I have at my disposal to understand what's the most meaningful thing to winning deals. The advent, I was like, I had to get it real simple. And as you can tell by our conversation, you know, I tend to talk. But you know, the thing that was exciting to me is like, hey, this is a real simple problem. Every time I leave, a sales call or have had a conversation with a CRO or SVP of sales, they really are talking about, hey, how can I build better pipeline, and how can I execute more of that pipeline to revenue, and how can I maximize the performance of my people? Yeah. Right. So I looked at that and I was like, when I look at an XY axis, I'm like, yeah, okay. Revenue attainment. All right. That's quota and skills to get something in position to create that's pipeline. There they are. That's the two things that I need to think about. And right. I want to understand.
Oh, so repeat. So you kind of narrowed it down to a couple. Repeat those things one more time.
Yeah. So I narrowed it down to pipeline development.
Pipeline development. Yep.
Right. Build better pipeline. You know, it's not always about quantity. It's about quality, mm-hmm. right? It's just like there's a lot of people that go, hey, yeah, you got to bustle. They get the activity up. It's not about activity. It's about the right activity. And if you think that you can turn the, you know, it's like saying more cowbell. You know, it's funny, right? Because it's annoying, right?
Right, right,
you know,
right.
The reality is, it's like, hey, give me more quality. Like, come in at the right time. And then the second piece is, how do I convert opportunities to revenue? So it's pipeline development and then opportunities to revenue. So that really means like, hey, how can I get my hustle on and start to articulate what's going on in the marketplace with my solution and how we might be able to solve business problems. And then once I get somebody into a conversation, how do I navigate through the buying process? Because we're also seeing, you know, we talked about it earlier in the call, right? It's getting more complicated. There's more people, you know, they're making decisions based off of what does the sales process look like, right? Do they understand how to help me buy what I'm looking for? You know, is there this quid pro quo of knowledge and action transfer? I can provide you knowledge and insights, maybe some domain expertise, provide the right people. You never heard the whole quarterback analogy. And then how can I help navigate them through the process where it makes sense? And then I can show them an ROI that's actually measurable. So then I've got this whole notion of a closed loop system. Okay, well, yeah, I can get my head around that.
Got it. So you got all these kind of inputs that you put together that, you know, are the indicators that lead to obviously what an A player and what great quota attainment looks like, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? It differs in every organization. Right? That's the beauty of being able to do an assessment, right? I have a framework, right? But I know that this organization sells different. They have different, you know, all coverage isn't created equal. Like, yeah. I hear like the industry coverage says, oh, well, you got to have 3.5x coverage. I don't know. Like, I think if their commit accuracy is high, they have a pretty good understanding of how to manage deals.
Yeah.
I probably ought to see what they're doing and how they're doing that. You know, who are they using? What assets are they using? What's the time that it takes them to execute on key milestones? Heck, what are the key milestones? What's really impacting me driving revenue? So, you know, the nice thing is the data flushes that out. And I always hear, oh, we don't have good data. I'm like, are you paying your sales reps? And they said, yeah. I said, then you've got good data. Yeah. Right, because people know that they've got to get paid,
yeah.
And they've got to put some. They've got to get, and you know, in every company that I go to, they have pipeline calls, right?
Yeah,
and you know, they have one on ones, and they have, you know, war room call. That all happens. That's not isolated to one organization. So they're talking about this stuff, and they're asking them to document it because they spent millions and millions of dollars on a CRM solution. Wow. So there's lots of great information in there. It's like, how do I weaponize it though?
That's the problem, people have the data, but they can't ever get to it. And that's still a problem.
And that's the idea behind the SEQ, man. It's like, let's look at that data. Let's synthesize it. And then let's start to highlight some stuff. Let's highlight, what does good look like with your people, your processes, and your opportunities. right? Because that's really the key, man. My people manage opportunities and they drive process. So if I can continue to monitor, measure, course correct, ding, 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 you think about it, over time, I should probably, you know, get better. And, you know, and if I'm looking at the details, then I can start to go, hey, man, that's a, I'm seeing that on a multitude of deals. Man, you know, we win when we're in this vertical and this price point when we got this team on the deal.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, you know? so you were able to, you bring it, you kind of just bring this all together and that facilitates the change we're really looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you see, like, and then, you know, and then there's this whole notion of, you know, I always want a voice of truth, right? Because as a manager, I want transparency, right? Because that eliminates surprises. I want objectivity, right? Because objectivity, you know, it's like, hey, here's what the data's saying. And I want focus, right? So if you use something like that, boom, 1, 2, 3, it knocks them out.
Right.
You know, now, you know, I've got focus because I'm like, all right, hey, I'm not buying my own BS anymore. Right. The data's saying, hey, you really need to look at this stuff. You know, I've turned the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that was that was amazing for me is, you know, we did a study recently and we turned the lights on for people. And what we saw is, you know, and I'll go back to referring to, you know, kind of the Jack Welch, that 70% of the middle, by just turning the lights on, right? Like, hey, here's some awareness into what's going on. Here's what you need to be thinking about. Here's what's risky, you know. And, you know, that's going on in your ecosystem right now around your people and the opportunities and the process.
Yeah.
By just turning the lights on, we were able to move that middle 70%. We were able to take 15% of those on average and move them up to the right.
Wow.
Right. Up and to the right to me means more revenue,
more
greater productivity, right? More quota attainment.
Like, and sometimes, like, it is just great. About turning the lights on and figuring out who's where, and then you can start to actually move the puzzle pieces. But it's a problem because we have a hard time doing that. I mean, we have a hard time actually making that happen. But it sounds like that's been your journey, and it sounds like you've actually gotten there. So kudos. I know it's been a long time coming. Fascinating talk track about A, B, and C players and kind of getting people from one to the next and then the next to the next. As we kind of bring it to an end here, Ron, if somebody wants to get a hold of you or learn a little bit more about this sales effectiveness quadrant and the assessment portion that you can help deliver, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you know, you can always call me. you know, we can do that. You're going to give me my phone number. I'm happy to do so. Or email me, you know, ron.hollis@insidesales.com. Or you can call me at 512-470-1841. I live in Austin, but, you know, fortunately, I get to see a lot of the country.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
I'd love to have a conversation. Like, this is the stuff that I love to, you know, to think about and to work through with people. And, you know, I think typically in my conversations, what happens is that's when the lights come on for me, when I start to understand kind of what their problems are, and, you know, love to do some knowledge transfer and, you know, share any experience that I've had.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we will make sure that we put some of these links if you'd like to learn more about the sales effectiveness quadrant and how you can assess your A, Bs, and C players. Ron's team does that. They offer a complimentary assessment for those who meet some basic criteria. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can learn more about that. And if you'd like to contact Ron, sounds like he's open to it. So, Ron, really appreciate you jumping on. For the audience, remember, success is just one play away.